You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, what's going on, everybody? Episode 824 of Flow Wrestling Radio Live. I'm your host, Christian Piles, joined today by Monkey Askren and Father John Kozak. We're all remote today. Very embarrassing. We'll be back in the studio next week, Lord willing. Ben.
What's up?
All right, there you go. That's how you're doing. Yes,
my internet is not great. I'm going to warn you. I hope we don't have a terrible show. I'm in Peoria.
Where are you, Ben?
I'm in Peoria. Oh, can you hear me?
Is this an approved trip? Yeah, I can hear you, Ben. This is a good start, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't know who approves my trips, but it was fun. I got to play some disc golf last night. Play a little more today. I'm looking forward to it.
Outstanding. John Kozak checking in, filling in for JD Rayner, who's going to go to Bulgaria for some essential bag training. And until he comes back, we're going to be filling in. I guess maybe he'll call in, but Lord knows what time it'll be in Bulgaria when we do this show. So maybe not. Kozak, what's happening?
Not too much. I'm interested to hear what's going to happen to JD in Bulgaria. I just feel like it's going to be something. Something interesting.
Something will happen. And I think Spay's going with them too, which is good. These are two map guys. They love the map. So they should have some good experiences. They should find their way around. Let's get to some of the news of the day. First up, I know Ben was excited to talk about this. Bo Nickel just destroyed some guy in like a minute. He's yet to face anyone remotely in his league, and so he dispatched him quickly, choked him out. And then there was fake controversy about Bo not getting a contract immediately after the strangulation, to which I want to defer to our MMA insider for his thoughts.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. I thought it was kind of obvious. Because people were like, holy moly, how didn't Bo get a contract? And I thought, this is obvious. There's no way they're not going to sign him after this. Because obviously, when you look at the Dana White Contender Series, Bo Nickel is overly qualified for it. But they built him up a lot on Tuesday. So I think there's probably something already in the works with those guys. And they just want to keep building him up this way. That's my guess.
They're using Bo maybe to build up Contender Series, but also to build up Bo kind of like symbiotic, yes. Like that.
Yep, something like that. That's kind of how I feel about it. Because he was the main event on Tuesday night, and if you were paying attention to their social media, the majority of the attention was really focused on him. So the notion that he would then perform that well and then not get a contract is, to me, it's kind of silly. So I think there's probably something in the works. I would be shocked if we don't see him in the UFC after his next fight.
Yeah, yeah, that would make sense. Well, it was cool to see him win. He has got to be one of the more talked about MMA prospects in quite some time.
I mean, we've talked about that, how we haven't really had a super high level wrestler transition. I mean, probably since Pico, which has been kind of a long time now. I mean, if you think Pico was done in 2016, right?
16.
Wrestling? That's 6 years now. So, yeah. And then another funny thing is there's never been a Penn State guy who's transitioned to fighting at a high level, correct?
Well, I mean, Ed and Bubba did transition, but they not highly. Well, Phil Davis. Phil Davis was.
Phil.
I think he might have been a champ at one point. How quickly you forget, Mr. Wonderphil.
I can't believe I forgot Phil. Now I'm feeling an idiot. Bubba, I did not count as Penn State, though, because.
Why's
that? He was at Arizona State. They didn't finish on good terms there. You know, I just sound like, eh.
Well, that's news to me, but that makes sense.
Wait, that
Ben, I have a trivia question for you.
Good terms of Penn State.
Yeah, I'm literally just learning about this in real time. It is interesting, though.
Yeah.
What's up, John?
Ben, I have a trivia question for Ben.
I failed the last one. Don't make it too hard.
Yeah. No, we were talking about this in the office the other day. How many Hodge Trophy winners have fought MMA? I think you're going to get one. But who are the other
I bet there's someone early on who fought like a couple fights or something. So I bet this is a trick question. Mako fought. I fought. Bo has now fought. No one else recently, I don't think. I'm going to say five because I think there's probably a couple I'm forgetting about.
Dang, five.
I believe you just missed Eric Larkin.
Oh my gosh, Eric! We trained together too.
Yeah.
Dang,
that's embarrassing. How did I know that?
Eric was too smart, though. You know, so I tell you, MMA is a bad career. Eric was training with me when we were in Phoenix, and then I think he took one bad. I don't know if it was an elbow or something. And then he said, I'm out on this. But he's smart. He, like, had a really good career. And he's obviously now he's doing the Valiant Prep thing. He's too smart for MMA.
That makes sense. Yeah. To those of you that are asking, we're supposed to do a show yesterday. Stuff happened outside of the wrestling realm, and we weren't able to do it. But you're asking about the Roadhouse. Have I watched it yet? No, I have not.
Yeah.
And that was strategic because Sparks couldn't come on yesterday anyways. So I will watch it between now and when Shane Sparks comes on. And I have not seen it. I would assume that John Kozak has also not seen it.
I have so many takes.
You have so many takes?
Oh, my God.
Boy, I can't wait to watch it.
Let me ask you this. Can I ask you this first question? My first question is
– Yeah.
The whole premise of the movie is that, okay, they call this guy Dalton. They call him a cooler, not a bouncer. When it's like the same thing. It's like, you know, like that.
Yeah.
But like they allegedly go recruit. You're going to recruit a bouncer? Like, is that a thing? Like, I heard this guy's a good bouncer. I'm going to freaking New York to recruit him. Like, wait, what?
And is then, that the premise for real?
Yes. And then why would you move from New York to like he moves to, it's the middle of nowhere, Missouri. It's not even, they say like outskirts of Kansas City, but if you look up Jasper, Missouri, where the movie's set, it's like prime Boonies location, like middle of nowhere. It's preposterous.
Yeah. That is very interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, just tell me what you know about Roadhouse.
Christian, I'm going to warn you here. So previously I had only seen Roadhouse on TBS and TNT because it was playing like every other night and my roommates in college would be watching it and I would see it, you know? So my wife watched on, I don't know what streaming service, I can't really use our TV that well. But there's tons of boobies. So don't watch it around Caleb.
Oh yeah. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
We barely watch Harry Potter. So many boobs. Caleb, so don't worry. He would probably run. He and Natalie would probably run. You think it's, this is
a wholesome movie about a bouncer in the middle of Missouri, and then also there's boobs everywhere, and Caleb's like, ah.
No, and thank you for the heads up, but yeah, not going to be in any danger there. Kozak, do you know Roadhouse?
No, I've never seen it. I looked it up right now. It came out the year I was born, and I'm looking at a trailer. The description is, a tough bouncer is hired to tame a dirty bar. So sounds similar to my life.
Proper.
Kozak's lived this life. Man, that is a really hilarious premise for a show. I can't wait. I can't wait to get into it more.
I can't wait.
Have like a rotation.
Shane's take is going to be hilarious. I think you nailed it, but I'm very, very eager to see.
It's going to be top five bouncer movies of all time.
I really can't
wait. I already can't wait.
Oh my god.
Okay. Other stuff. We talked about Bo. Congrats to him. Fans of Bo Nickel here. I actually talked to his dad, Jason, last week at the NWCA convention. He's the man. Very, very cool guy. Going to keep it moving. Tyler Berger to the Pennsylvania RTC. So, I mean, they continue to just amass a massive roster of talent at the Pennsylvania RTC. And Berger's a really good pickup, really solid guy, great partner. He was one of Burrow's main training partners throughout his run in Nebraska. And I think more than adding talent, it's been interesting to see both Vincenzo and Tyler leave Stanford after just a year, have to figure the plan going in was for them to be there training and coaching more long term than they wound up being. But
that's an interesting take.
Well,
I mean, what about when you said that, I didn't really think about that take. But I think Rob kind of constructed a staff of guys he hadn't really worked all that much with before, correct? I mean,
yeah,
it's a little bit like a
completely new,
find some guys that you don't see eye to eye with. And who knows? Honestly, we don't even know that these guys are leaving because they didn't get along with them. But I think inevitably that is something that happens with a group of people. It's like, well, everyone's just not going to work all that well together. Don't know that that's what happened or not, but definitely a possibility.
Yeah, for Chinzo, you know, going to Arizona State and Sunkist, that makes sense from a training perspective for sure. If you're like, all right, and some guys, like after coaching, they realize how much it takes away from their training. This happened with Jordan. I think it's happened with Dake. It's happened with numerous senior level athletes who tried to do both. And so you probably go into it thinking I can do it. And then you have to do it. And you're like, wait, I have a real job that's like priority one and my training secondary. And I think for someone like Chinzo, he probably just came to that. My assumption is he just came to a realization he just wanted to train until he's, you know, exhausted his senior level career before coaching. And for Berger, you know, the pull back to Burroughs has to be if you're a senior level athlete, getting to train along that roster has to be, you know, really exciting. So I'm not saying the moves are indicative of something with Stanford. It's just like it is notable that they had these two guys and they were only there a year.
Yeah, that is man, it'd be interesting to see how it plays out. I would guess Rob Cole, you know, he maybe churns through some people and then finds a staff that he really likes and that is, you know, suitable to him, and they stick around for a long time.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Kozak, thoughts on the Penn RTC roster?
Yeah, it's cool. I know that their hope is to have like a full 10-man RTC roster, which would be huge. So they're halfway kind of there. Yeah, I like what they're doing. It seems
like they only have five? I thought they had more than that.
I think they only have five.
Really?
Yeah. Joey McKenna, Madden.
Bonus was there.
Yeah, he's at Michigan now.
Got it.
I think. Yeah.
That sounds right.
Yeah. So
run through it, Cozy.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see how Berger, if he has more success there. He's been on a senior level for long enough to where you kind of know where he stacks up as like number 3-4 guy at 70. But we saw David McFadden make some really big jumps last year. So yep. Interesting.
Let's see.
Cool. Man, okay.
I'm waiting for an event today. Oh, PDR, PRTC athletes. I'm going to McKenna, McFadden, Hall, Perry, Burroughs. Yeah, you're right. Then so that makes number 5 because Perry's not an active competitor.
And Lezak is, I guess, no longer training. Yeah. Maybe he was on the roster for a time.
Yeah.
Okay. The biggest news probably of wrestling this week is the retirement of G'Angelo Hancock, which is just, I would have done that before making the team and before 40 days before the World Championships, but. You never know when you're going to want to retire. I do know this was on USA Wrestling's radar.
Very strange.
It's totally bizarre. This was definitely on USA's radar. Braxton was told, hey, you might, like, really early on, you need to stay ready. You might be the guy. I think they were having a hard time communicating with G'Angelo. Obviously, this is a guy who said in his Final X interview with me, like, I don't have a coach. I just go in this room and I wrestle live for 90 minutes and that's my training. And so he definitely already kind of carved a unique path for himself. And I guess he's done wrestling. It's unfortunate for Team USA because he was our medalist last year. Now we have no medalist going into the World Championships. And, Braxton, while amazing, incredible wrestler, great Greco, like, We saw there's a gap there, right, between Braxton and G'Angelo. And it was not, G'Angelo is right on the cusp of placing or not placing. He's right there to get on the podium again. And now it's like, man, it's going to take a real top of the line performance from Braxton to get on the podium. And our chances of medalists are, reduced as a program for Greco. So, unfortunate for Team USA, that's for sure.
Yeah, I remember listening to that interview, and he said he only went 90 minutes a day, and I thought, like, what in the world? Imagine if he actually had some coaching, how good he could be. If that is your strategy, because it does not seem it worked for him. I'm not saying it's impossible. It does not seem like the best training strategy.
Yeah. It sounds simple, though. Just 90 minutes live.
Go live, 90 every day.
I'm curious.
So who?
90 live. No warm up, no drilling. 90 live. P90 live.
P90X? Is that a P90X reference?
No, P90 live. This is totally different.
Okay. What was P90X?
That was this. It was a workout thing.
I remember this. It was this fitness fad. I think it followed the steps of Ty Bo.
Billy Blanks.
Ty Bo, and then there was P90X. I can't remember what it was. In the Facebook chat, I bet some of these deviants did P90X for a little bit.
P90X was like early 2000s, and it was like a combination of like high intensity interval training and weights and just like a bunch of different exercises put together for, I think, I don't know, 90 minutes.
Yeah. Man, 90 minutes. I do not want to work out that long. That's for darn sure. Larry Steele. I knew it. He had P90X. Ab workout is insane. Ashlyn. Larry Steele's real name is Ashlyn. And he's working on his abs via P90X. 90 minute workout. That sounds terrible. I don't want to do that. P90X was a muscle confusion technology, according to Nico, our producer.
Yeah.
What
incredible branding. That is the best branding ever. It was created by Tony Horton. Larry Steele has a whole booklet of DVDs incredible. BJJ Fanatics should purchase the rights to P90X.
That would be a good purchase for them. Why did the Flow just purchase
Joe that? Gil? P90X? Maybe we will.
Flow 90. You guys could do Flow 90X. New website.
I'm sure we won't get sued for our muscle confusion technology. Joe Gilpin, hey. I know you're listening. Get locked in P90X.
Hey, so with Braxton taking over the spot, do you think this will, or how do you think this will affect like the folk style season? Do you think he'll get, you know, he'll take some time off? Because I know like the weight cut was a bit of an issue for him last year. Does he take a month or two to transition back into folk style? I mean, part of me is like, man, it's a really cool opportunity for Braxton. But then the other part of me was like, I was looking forward to seeing how he would do this year, a year into, you know, his college career.
Yeah, it's interesting because I feel like towards the end, Braxton started to really get his weight in a really good place. He obviously was on the big side for 197. So yeah, there's an impact there, I think, for sure. But hopefully, and my hope is that he's able to use kind of what he figured out about, you know, the cut and just apply it sooner in the season. But yeah, it's a reduced focus on folk style wrestling for a very, very nuanced aspect of wrestling that only loosely translates to folk style. So
yeah, I mean, the other thing is
not the best thing for the.
Sorry, with the weight thing, Christian, like it's gotta be tough for him because is the 213 is the weight class in Greco, and so does he say I'm gonna get a little bigger to maximize my opportunity of doing well at the World Championships, or does he say he has to be coming down size wise, right? Or so does he say like no, I'm just gonna stay small and probably weigh in underweight for 213. To focus on the college season, you know, it's like one of those where it's like you probably can't do both. You got to do one or you got to do the other.
He's probably going to be on the bigger side and just have to deal with it in the D1 season getting down. But you don't want to be – you don't want to try to hold a lower weight when you're – the world championships are in front of you. So, okay. Good luck to – Braxton, who would you say is our best medal shot now, Kozak? Is it Colton?
For Greco?
Yeah.
Maybe.
All yeah. Right. And that's talking Greco. We'll move on. Okay. Why don't we, now that he's retired, we did our P90X plug. According to Larry Steele, it is now called Insanity, and it's an upgrade.
Yeah, I've done Insanity. I've done Insanity.
As if 90 minutes of muscle confusion technology wasn't enough. Now they've upped the stakes, our folks at P90X. All right, we're going to stop talking Greco because Keith Gothard wants
to. That's new rankings came out. I don't know if you want me to not tell anyone that, but I think it's I'm looking at the ranks on here. Good stuff.
One thing we don't want is people to look at our rankings, Ben.
You didn't bring it up yet, so I thought maybe that was the case.
If Bray were on, we would talk high school rankings at length, but he's not. It's Kozak. But, yeah, new rankings are out. Check them out.
Yeah.
Very cool.
A lot of who's number one matches being released as well.
Yes, indeed.
Nice.
Okay. Why don't we go to tiers?
Oh yeah.
I actually kind of want to do 197 because it's the one I'm most interested in.
I'm ready for all the tiers.
Oh my gosh. So JD left the tiers and he fled the country, our very nation, for Bulgaria. So we can't grill him on this, but we can pretend he's here and say the things we would say to him if he were here. So for 197, the little headline is, Max Dean might be Tier 1 Island.
No, this is dumb. Dumb take. I saw this. Dumb. Thumbs down.
I thought that would be your reaction. And I got to agree. I just don't think – it's interesting, though, because he did win.
He almost lost in the freaking round of 16. He doesn't get to be an island.
I'm not asking for an island. If it is tough to know where to draw the lines with this weight class, because you've got a tier two, bottom of tier two Cam Caffey with a win over Max Dean, the national champion. And Max Dean was not dominant throughout his run. He got it done, but I mean, he left no doubt in the final. He left no doubt in the semi. He had a scare in the quarter, for sure, with Jaiello. With
he also only won 3-1-4-3 over Lou Duprez in the semi or in the quarters. That was really competitive. Also.
Oh, that was a crazy one too. Exactly. Yeah. So it's weird because this could just be one mega tier, but I think that would be disingenuous because we know in our minds, like, close matches, like, Max is good in them. And he proved it last year. He was a lot of people's pick. He was my pick to win NCAAs last year. And he did that. So we know in our minds there's separation there. The scores.
Well, but is there separation, though? Like, remember when we talked about this on the other tiers, like a clear, this guy is going to beat this guy. I said 7-8 out of 10 times. And you said, yeah, I feel that way. And I mean, Max Dean is a solid guy, but it's going to be, man, if you said, hey, Ben, Max Dean is going to wrestle Stephen Buchanan 10 times. And you have to pick the amount of times he's going to win. Are you picking 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9? I'm probably picking like 6, maybe 7. I don't know. It's going to be close. He's going to lose a couple, I think.
I'd probably pick 7 or 8 for that. Yeah, I mean, I think the discussion we had last time with the tiers was, yeah, some tiers are like that, where you can have that definitive clear, the Roman and the Dayton and then Big Gap and then these guys, then again. But it's just not like that this way. So the bar for separation is, like, lowered, right?
Well, so why do you want separation? Yeah. So you want an island because, like, Warner, you can't put in tier one and then keep these other dudes out of tier two because Warner had plenty of losses last year. So there's no way you can put Warner in tier one and then keep these other dudes out of tier one also. Is that what we're going to go with?
Or just have one mega tier. Like, man, Younger Bastida, tier two, that guy's amazing. Bernie Truax, now we haven't talked about Bernie up at 197 yet, but that dude is freaking good. He's good. A big guy. Watching him last year, I was like, that is a big 84. And turns out, yes. Very big. Now 197. We'll see what he can become. Wonder if there are other.
Buchanan actually had one of the best years, Christian, because he lost to Ferrari, who then was out. He got sneak pinned by Owen Pence. And those are his only two losses.
That was sneaky.
Yeah, and then he lost to Jacob Warner in the quarters or semis, I think. But he beat Rocky Elam twice.
He got tilted.
Oh yeah, he got tilted.
He got tilted. That was so weird.
That was weird.
I did not expect that at all. They're very, very strange. I'm gonna pull up rankings here. I don't know if we have our 197 preview out yet. I don't believe that we do. But it would be worth taking a look at their other names in here. Worth noting. But hey, our boy Andy Smith might be back soon, so stay tuned for that.
I can see moving. I could see moving some of these guys to tier one, but like Caffey, Bonacorsi, and Hoffman. While they may have the ability to beat those guys, I don't think they were consistent enough to feel comfortable putting them in that higher tier or that mega tier like you're talking about. Cam Caffey, he was a little bit all over the place last year.
Oh, for sure. Most years, actually. Hey, also, another guy that should be in there is Cordell Norfleet, who is officially back. Mm. His medical got approved. He's officially back, so that's that's notable. Is Tanner Sloan in there? Isaac Trumbull, Tanner Sloan. These are guys I think should be included.
Let's make it tier three, and let's take Cam Caffey out of tier two.
Okay.
Well, Jake Woodley should be tier three also. Woodley's a tough out. But, yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, Caffey, 9 losses last year. He's out of tier 2. Get him out of here.
Yeah, beat it.
What about Bonacorsi? I feel like he did not have a good year last year.
It was not expect for returning and state finalists, I would say. Yeah. Who else? Tanner Sloan, where do we feel he fits?
Tier 3.
Do you feel that Dean, Warner, and Buchanan are the class of this weight?
No. Okay, I kind of want to put Rocky, Younger, and Truex up with those guys.
Rocky?
Yeah, he took 4th last year.
Yeah, probably so. Yeah, I think that's fair. Rocky? Truex. Yeah, I like that. I think that is separation. So you think that's the tier 1?
I think so.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I agree. In my mind, even though... What?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't say anything.
Okay. So, yeah, this is a very deep weight again. I still feel like at the end of it, it'll be Max and Warner or Buchanan. Certainly Max. I have a hard time picking against him. He got it done already. Yeah. This is going to be basically an identical field, say, Bernie Truex. And the guy, I mean, say what you want about the closeness of the matches, but he freaking won them. And
yeah,
he's only going to get better, or you would think, just being there at Penn State. I'm interested to see Michael Beard back in the mix. That's a curious development with him at Lehigh. So yeah, 197, yes. Very fun weight. Any thoughts here, Kozak?
I got a thought for you.
Oh, okay.
Percentage chance AJ Ferrari competes from a team next year.
Man, I want to. It's not going to happen.
So you're saying zero?
Not going to happen. I mean, I don't know if you can say 0% for, like, anything, but 0.001%.
Well, I'm going to leave it, like, 20%. I think there are, as bad as it looks for him, I think there are.
20?
Yeah, I think there's coaches without scruples, and he, you know, he gets off on the charge, or they, what do they call when they say?
He's not going to get off anytime soon.
Oh, my God, that was a funny play on words.
You're a deviant. He.
You said it, not me. You said it.
Like that was unintended. That was unintended.
Unintended. No, but what if they like? What do they call it? Like settle out of court or whatever? And you're telling me there's some college coaches with enough. Listen, there's a good amount of college coaches who'd be like, I ain't touching that dude with a 10-foot pole. But there are some college coaches that say, this man's gonna give me points at the NCAA tournament. I'll take him. I'll take a chance.
I don't think that's going to be an option for certainly these coaches would do that. I'm not discounting that there's a number of coaches that would roll the dice right now on AJ Ferrari. The reality is proceeding is going to take a period of time. So there's not going to be resolution there. And I don't think you're going to be able to get a guy in that is currently being charged with this and is going through the trial. Okay. This stuff takes forever. That's it, though. I don't remember what the second point was. But yeah, I just don't see it happening. I know number two. It was a good first point. Second point, he has a red shirt available that he can use. So he doesn't have to rush to use a year of eligibility. He can come back, clear this up. He and his brothers can figure out their next spot because Anthony has also left the Oklahoma State and Angelo's school is yet to be determined. I suppose if you see where Angelo winds up, there's that would be strong evidence that the rest would eventually wind up there. Mm-hmm. So maybe stay tuned to the Angelo sweepstakes. Who's wait? I'm not even gonna say that. Okay, so what, yeah, I don't. I see no chance.
You're not telling us. You're withholding information.
I don't know what we've announced for who's number one. I don't want to spoil anything. But hey, yeah, I sort of did, anyways.
Christian's going quiet for me every once in a while. Is he doing the same to you?
Yeah, his audio will go in and out.
Let me cut it. Take off the AirPods. See if that helps. Maybe it'll.
Let's be serious. Taking out the AirPods, we're getting serious now.
Now I can't hear him at all.
Now you're muted. Oh my goodness gracious! All right, tier three.
Boom. Okay, how's that, guys? All right,
we're back. Let's go.
Oh, so much better.
So much better.
Amazing. Incredible. All right, so tier three is pretty much everyone else. This is I love 197. It's gonna be a fun weight. There's some talent here. I like even really deep. Should be some tough guys.
Not quite as fun as last year, but yes, it's a really good weight class.
Right. I'd like to turn the page to some international talk since we have Kozak on as our guest. I'd like to talk about some of the international happenings. U20s is coming up. Senior Worlds just around the corner. Let's turn the floor over to Kozak.
Yeah. The U20s, I'm excited for. I think what's unique about this year's team is it's super young. So none of the guys have wrestled a varsity college match yet on the men's freestyle side of things. And Iran has a really, really good team. They're returning two junior world champs from last year. And then their heavyweight, I did a little preview article. I don't know if you guys had a chance to look at that. But like, I think we all kind of thought, man, Nick Feldman, he's going to be the guy to roll through juniors, win junior world gold. But their heavyweight, I think, should be considered a pretty good favorite. Over Feldman at U20 Worlds. I think he's that good.
Wow.
That good.
Yeah.
Man, that would be crazy because, yeah, like you said, we just feel like Feldman is just like, almost like a – I'm not going to say Kyle Snyder but I'm thinking Kyle Snyder before he won a freaking senior world title. Like, I think that's fair at least where Snyder was unparalleled – against high school competition, no issues making the team and what was a junior world champion. That's kind of how I view Feldman right now. So it's strange to think of him not winning. Then again, Kyle was bronze the year before he won his senior world title. Mm-hmm. So these things happen. You hit these really tough guys. So yeah, it'll be curious to see, and Iran just has crazy depth with these big guys.
Yeah.
So I did that article. I put it in the doc there, but this Masumi, so his dad was Iran's heavyweight, the 2008 Olympics, and like,
oh from my God, 2004. I remember that name.
Yeah. Fardeen mm-hmm. Masumi. He beat Mako. He's beaten, let's see who else. Tally Thompson, Tervell. So he's medaled a couple times. His dad he's did, but they, Amir Reza, he won Cadet Worlds last year. He teched Big Jim Mullen in the finals, and then this year he jumped the seniors. He won the Takti Cup. He beat last year's Junior World Champ, and then he went to Iran's World Team Trials. He beat Yadala Mohebi, who has wins over Gwizdowski in the past. And then he wrestled Zare. And like right off the bat, he drops down to a single leg, drives Zare out of bounds. And it was like 2-1, 4-1 at the break. And then Zare kind of wore him down. And then Masumi got a takedown at the end. So it was like 9-3 with Zare. And this kid's like 18 years old. So that's why I'm so high on him. He's huge too. He's gonna be way bigger than Feldman.
Man, and Zare just kills so many people too. He just breaks. Yeah.
I don't think Wiz has made it out really of the first period. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So that's gonna be tough for him. Tough for Hayden Zilmer against Zare. That's gonna be a really tough matchup. But he wrestled Gino really well, so you know, mm-hmm. I'm excited. Now talk a little about our quest for a world title and what it's gonna take for Team USA at the senior level to win.
Yeah. So with Russia out, I think everybody kind of figures like USA is the favorite. But as much as it helps us, it also helps Iran. And Iran has a really good team. It's really similar to like Team USA when you go head to head. So actually I've been ranking like the world team reps, so taking out any repeats, so like only one Team USA guy per weight, one Iranian, and then obviously no Russians. So right now, based on those rankings, I have Iran in the lead by 7 points, which is really just
I agree with this man.
Yeah, well, so it's really just if you give, so Yazdani's ranked first right now, David Taylor's ranked second. So really, if you flip that match, it flips the team score. But I did the same thing last year. Yeah, that's a 10-point swing.
Perfect.
So it's 5.
Then we win.
Yeah, 5-point difference. Yeah. So it's like, it just shows you how close everything is, and it's going to come down to like points, who can get the most points out of like their full team. So like if we have a guy go 0-1 and score 0 points, that's really bad.
So how do they score all the way down to 8th or 10th, Kozak?
They score down to 10th. 10th only gets 2 points. It goes 25 for gold, 20 for silver, 15 for the bronzes, 10 for fifth, and then 8-6-4-2 down. So I did the same thing last year. I had projected Russia to get 195. They ended up getting 173. USA, I projected to get 179. They got 168. And then Iran, like, way overperformed last year.
They went nuts.
So, yeah. So, like, if you look between 79 and 97, USA and Iran have, like, the number one and number two guys at all four of those weights. So, and then at 57, too, with Gilman and Sarlacc. So, like, really, it's just going to be – it'll be almost like –
because it could be so much head to head is going to determine it. Like we should get a lot of Iran versus USA matchups to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. And in your points, yep. I'm guessing we're not getting a whole bunch of points at 61, 65, or 70. So that's a place we could possibly.
Or 125.
Or 125. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Correct. Those four places.
Yeah, those places, they're not getting any medal points, but they still are like in the top 10. So that's why I say if somebody goes 0-1, right now I have them projected to get points, but I don't have Gross projected to place or Zane or Yanni or Zilmer, but like 61, I don't think I have Iran projected to place there either. So they could, they could jump up
Got it.
As well. Yeah.
So it's going to be an exciting story. Yeah. I mean, the team race was so fun last year, although we didn't win. Yes. But, man, it was this Russia-USA showdown for a while, and then Iran just goes nuts. That one round where they put all those guys in the finals. And it's like, oh, my gosh, Iran could legitimately win. And some people thought they would win and had won, but it wasn't the case. And Russia kind of stormed back and ended up winning, edging us out. We got second, but amazing run, and it's going to be an incredible head-to-head matchup this year as well between Iran and USA, which is great. Iran had a little bit of a drop-off there from where they had been. So it's cool to see them back on the come up, and they inject a lot of excitement, a lot of energy into the arena. So yeah, it's all good stuff. What?
That was almost exactly. Well, you said inject, and I thought you were going to say they inject something else, which they have been caught doing many times.
You are taking all my words and twisting them, manipulating them, the things I'm not saying.
You said inject.
You might be part
They've been in trouble for injecting something. That's happened. No, it's happened. I'm not surmising anyone who has not got busted is doing it. I'm just saying, if you're an Iranian wrestler, there's a decent amount of them who got busted for injecting things.
Yeah, that is that's a fact. Factual. No denying that. It's factual. Factually mm-hmm. correct. Okay. Why don't we? Have y'all been checking in on the chat? It's tough when we're in here.
Oh yeah, I look. There's one thing I want to respond to in the chat. Somebody brought up Gilman thinking that Russia was gonna show up at Worlds. I think the likelihood of that is really, really low. Even just reading like what Mamishvili is talking about, like their goal is to get approved by 2023 so that they can qualify for the Olympics by 2024. Like they're already talking about next year.
The resign.
So I think Gilman, the way he thinks about things is like, I have to be ready for everybody, prepare for the best guys. But I think I mean, we're a month away and Russia hasn't been at any of the world championships yet. I would be really, really shocked.
Yeah. I would too. And for wrestling to be, I mean, he says that judo, I guess, got there. Mm-hmm. I obviously don't follow judo or care about it, but he said that Russia was in for that, which was news to me. But
yeah.
I think for UWW to kind of make that statement and say, hey, yeah, they're mm-hmm. back, I think that's just it's very bold. There's some risk there. And Nenad Lalovic has done such a great job in improving wrestling standing within international sport and IOC. It's like, why would you jeopardize that to have them in this championships? Yeah. I think it will be unfortunately, these guys, I mean, if it happens, they got their worlds taken away from like last year or 2 years ago, whenever they're supposed to host. Got it moved to 2023, the best year you want to host worlds, the year that qualifies you for the Olympics. So every suspension, every punishment seems to like, they seem to navigate it well, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And like, I think if their goal is to get back in by 23 and host the worlds, it's like, man, in some ways, yeah, they'll miss this year and that's bad, but kind of no harm, no foul. And like, they're still in great standing for 23 and, you know, ultimately 24, they could qualify their guys. So that's unfortunate.
Yeah. The thing with the judo, like judo never banned them to begin with, but they didn't compete. They didn't show up at anything. They kind of did like a similar, if you remember right before UWW announced their ban, the Russian Federation came out and said, we're choosing not to attend the European Championships out of safety for our athletes. And then the next day they said, Russia's banned. And so like it was like the propaganda of like, oh, this is our decision not to attend. And so judo didn't ban them, but then their Russian Federation said, oh, we're not coming because of, you know, safety. But then also the other thing to consider is like Putin, his sport is judo. Like that's what he cares about the most. Like he kind of, I don't know how seriously he trains in it, but he'll post pictures of himself, training judo and stuff. So it's different, both from, like Russia's perspective and like the sport judo perspective.
Cool. Well, this has been good. Been, great having, Kozak on talking some international wrestling. Appreciate Ben calling in from Peoria. I hope you have a hole in one today, Ben.
Man, I crushed the last. I don't know when they're going to put out the coverage from yesterday. Here's something funny though, Christian. It was called Play with the Champs, and so it was like a fundraising thing for charity. And so everyone puts in tickets and they get to play. There's 9 holes and they get to play a doubles hole with you. Here's the problem is, now I'm an above average. I'm a pretty good disc golfer, but they're throwing, everyone else was like a world champ. So it's like 4 world champs and me, and then the people got to play with us. So I had to compete with the other world champs. It was not cool on their part.
Yeah, that's not fair.
But on the last hole, I had a sick shot. It was so nice. I freaking boom, like 390 feet, put it like 12 feet behind the basket.
Good job, buddy. Well, I hope you beat those pros.
They're really good at what they do.
Yes. Yes, indeed. You're good at what you do, Ben, which is a lot of things. So good job on you. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. The Facebook chat is good at what they do. YouTube, I'm sorry I wasn't over there today. Different sort of setup. But we will be back next Tuesday. Who will be on the show? Will it be Kozak? Will it be JD? We simply don't know. But thanks a lot for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Have a good weekend, guys. Goodbye.